Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between, let's talk everything outdoors.
All aboard! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, it's 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and you know what time that is. It's time to hop on board the crazy train. So get your tickets punched and join us here on the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. We come to you every Saturday morning, as you know, from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live. We are unrehearsed. That's why it gets kind of wacky. You never know what you're going to get on this show. Kind of like Forrest Gump's box of chocolates. But anywho, if you want to get in touch with us, be part of the show, just give us a call at 414-799-1250. That's 799-1250. And if you don't want to go on the air, you can always email us live at the Smokies Muskie Bait and Tackle inbox at ceoguys@yahoo.com. That's ceoguys@yahoo.com. So he's Dan Bush. I'm Tom Neubauer. Sam Schmid is on the board over here. Schmitz.
It's all right. Close enough.
Hey, at least I'm not calling him Wes or whatever.
Yeah, Wesley J. Dangerfield.
Wesley Danger.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. So you're all set, Danny, huh? You got the headgear on.
Yep.
Got the glasses. You're all set.
Got my glasses here. And what do you want to talk about today, Tom?
Well, there's all kinds of stuff to talk about. We got stuff to talk about, but we are later on in the show, folks. We're going to be giving away two free tickets to the Muskie Expo out there at Washington County, at the Washington County Fairgrounds. That's going to be taking place on February.
Put on your glasses. 14th,
15th, and 16th. And these are 2 3-day passes. Cost like $20. You can go every day for 3 days.
Wow.
So we got two of those to give away this week.
3-day passes.
Yeah, later on in the show. And then we got two to give away next week. So we'll be giving away some of those. And maybe we'll talk a little bit about it. But there will be an ad for the Muskie Expo during the show. So you got to listen for that.
The Great Muskie Show. Maybe I'll sing a little jingle
that's
or something.
That's the Canada show.
How could you tell?
The
Great Muskie Show.
Because that's what they say. It's the all great
Come on
Canada
out today
show.
And see.
Yeah.
Those muskie shows are great, though.
They are fun. You know, especially for a person who let's say, wants to get into muskie fishing.
If you've been thinking about it, you will be convinced. Once you go there and you see all those pictures of giant fish and maybe some of the mounts. I'm sure what the Lax and Fatante are normally out there with some of their beautiful mm-hmm. mounts. And even though my buddy Dan Johnson does just as good, but that's beside the point. It's a great place. You'll probably meet some outfitters, guides,
speakers. And a lot of guides, a lot of lure manufacturers. You can usually get good deals at the muskie shows, you know, get a better price.
Imagine Bill Schwartz will be there with some
probably
super slammers.
Yeah, sometimes he comes out with custom colors.
Yep.
And that you just can't find in a store. It's like Schwartz is like the mad scientist, you know, when he starts making these weird colors.
Right.
He's sitting down there, you know, mixing colors, spraying them.
Last year, it's interesting. Every year it's kind of fun when you're out you know, trolling out on Pewaukee for the Muskies, and I use his slammers a lot in some, in a few old Bagleys. But it's interesting because color patterns have kind of changed, you know, not necessarily year to year, but sometimes one color pattern, like his black sucker pattern, when he was on our show years ago, he had told me that was his hot one. And I went out and caught like two Muskies the first morning I tried it. And that was really good for a long time. But these last couple of years, there's been some other color patterns, which, of course, I'm keeping top secret. In fact, my brother picked up one of his custom colors up in Oshkosh at some place. And he says, here, if this color you're using is going to work, this should work. And sure enough, first time out, caught one with my brother's slammer. Of course, he gives it to me because I take him out and he catches fish. So that's a trade-off.
Yeah.
Gets me stuff. Here, got you a slammer.
That works.
Yeah.
That works.
It works. But yeah, great bait. So if you go to the Muskie Show, bring your checkbook. Of course, does anyone carry checkbooks anymore, Tom?
I don't think so. I don't think people carry a lot of checkbooks, mostly plastic or cash. Oh, and I saw in the news where they're going to make it a law where, because, you know, there's some of these stores that are no cash store, or no, cash only stores. You can't, unless you want to buy something, it's cash only.
Right.
Well, they're going to make it a law that they can't be cash only. They got to accept credit cards. Now, it's like, well, wait a minute. What if the store owner... What if, I mean, it's up to him to decide if he wants cash only or deal with credit cards. If he wants to lose the business from people with debit cards and credit cards, well, isn't that up to him?
Well, I'll tell you, I was really aggravated because I went to a Woodman's store a month or so ago and to pick up my buddy Troy Woodrow's Cafe Rumba, some of the gosh darn good Cafe Rumba, as a gift for people for Christmas. And I go, I got like, you know, four bottles worth, $80 worth. I'm at the checkout, or maybe $100 worth. Yeah. And I got, they wouldn't take credit card.
Huh?
No, they wouldn't take the credit card. They would only take, I think it was Discover that they would take.
I use
Discover or cash at the Woodman's, but they would not take my
Visa or MasterCard.
Yeah, I had a debit card that was like a MasterCard. Yeah. No, they wouldn't take it. So there you are. In front of a big line of people, so I had to run across the parking lot to, fortunately, my credit union, Lakeshore Credit Union was there, or Landmark Credit Union, one, same thing, and went and got some cash and came back. But yeah, I don't know what it is. Do merchants pay like a fee?
Yes.
I guess they do pay a fee.
Do. Usually MasterCard and Visa are like 3%, so like whatever you're buying... It costs them 3% for you to buy it if you use a credit card or debit card.
So, like, if you buy $100 worth, costs them $3.
Yes. And American Express is 5%, and I think Discover is 2%. So, but, yeah, they pay. That's why a lot of places don't like people using credit cards and debit cards, because that costs them money. But here's the thing. We go to a Woodman's
Well, wait, how
every...
about debit? That shouldn't cost them money because that goes direct from your account as opposed to going through like...
Yeah, that's true, but I think it has something to do that it still goes through electronically something. I don't know. But here's the thing. My wife and I, we go
Ask
to the
Wesley
Woodman's
Danger
out...
Back
you're
here.
Talking
He's...
over me.
Okay, sorry.
My wife and I go out to the Woodman's out in Waukesha, and they accept Visa, MasterCard, debit cards.
That's the one I was at.
Yeah, they accept it for
me.
Oh,
wait a second. No, I was at the one...
In Waukesha out here. There's one in Waukesha, and then there's that one in Germantown. That's the one I was at, the one in Germantown.
No, I was at one down south over here. I think it was off 27th Street.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a big one down there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was
right.
The one.
Yeah. I'll be a son of a gun. 799-1250. Has anybody else had that problem at the Woodman's down there on South 27th?
I like Woodman's.
Commiserate
it's a
with
good,
Bushy.
It's a good store, but geez, there you are, and you're stuck. Well, the ironic thing, the flip side of that, Tom, is this. Years ago, before my dad died, my parents never believed in credit cards, right? They pretty much were all cash and this and that. They were never ones to be in debt. And my dad, on a vacation one time, tried to check into a hotel, of course, and they wouldn't let him check into
a
hotel
card.
Without a credit
card. Yeah, you ain't going to get one.
My dad at the time was like, well, for crying out loud, cash isn't good anymore in this world. He was totally fed up and disgusted. So that's when he went and got some credit cards.
Well, there's only one time I use a credit card, only once, and that's for gas, my gas purchases, because I get 1% or 1.5% of whatever I pay for gas, I get back in cash back, and then 3 months out of the year, I get 5% back. So for that, yeah, I use a credit card for gas. Otherwise, I never use a credit card.
Huh.
It's either cash or debit, you know. One of the two.
Special gas station you got to go to for that?
Well, I normally go by a place that a guy know. I go to his gas station. But when it's because at Pick and Save, you get these points.
Right.
And if you go to a BP. So a lot of times I'll save anywhere from 50 cents to a dollar a gallon on gas.
Wait a second. Is that like on the points? Is that like something when you get that receipt from them at Pick and Save? Is that where your points are on?
It might be.
I always just throw everything away.
Yeah, it might be on there. You got to go digital. You got to go on their website and then look at the digital coupons and all
that. Me no bother that. Way too much work to try and save a dollar.
Who do you got on the line?
Nick in Pewaukee.
All right. Oh, hey, Nick in Pewaukee. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, buddy.
Hey, so I'm going to answer your Woodman's question.
Yeah.
Because I'm actually trying to sell them some stuff.
Oh.
Woodman's accepts all debit cards and cash. You just can't use a credit card there, but I do believe you can use the Discover. But it's you can always use a debit.
Yeah, okay.
It's just like Aldi.
Okay.
So, oh, you know what? Now that I think about it, Nick.
Maybe it was a credit.
I had the credit card that day. I did not bring the debit card. That's what it is. Okay, so that clears it up.
Going without an ID.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know.
All right.
All right, Nick. Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Thanks. You doing any ice fishing?
I haven't trusted the ice. I actually just went out on, we got our limit. We caught about 30 browns on Lake Michigan 2 days ago.
Oh, that's
through
great.
The ice?
No, in the boat.
Oh. Oh, really? Oh, wow. That's got to be a little chilly.
No, it was. There was no wind.
Oh, and that's.
It was a west wind, but it was only 2 miles an hour.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, it was flat. It was gorgeous. Yeah.
No Lakers, though, huh?
No, not right now. Not where we go. You'll get some coho, but it's mainly just brown trout.
Okay. Were you trolling for them?
Nope, just casting.
Casting for them, yeah. Yeah, well, that's good. I went this time of year years ago. We went down to the Oak Creek Power Plant years ago, and we got a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's great. If the weather's good and you can get out this time of year, and there's hardly any pressure on them.
It was just me and Eric Hadia.
That was it, yeah.
He was right next to us, yeah. He came later, though.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it was good.
Cool, man.
All right.
All right.
Thanks for calling, Nick.
See ya.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, we haven't talked much about Lake Michigan lately. I don't know if the harbor is frozen over, if guys are. I don't think they're going in the harbor. I don't think that's
well, that,
froze over.
That winter
enough.
Brown trout fishing can be good. Many years ago, I think it was actually February, I and Steve Milliot went to go fish Oak Creek Power Plant, and that it was frozen in by the launch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it took us an hour. I had a 2x4 and I was in front of the boat and I was smashing, trying
really?
To smash through the ice. An hour, and at the end, I had a blood blister the size of a quarter on my palm.
Oh, man.
But we went out and got our limit of browns. We just went in front of the discharge with just nothing but a little split shot, small hook, and a shiner, and you just cast it on out, let it drift on through, tap, 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 bang, you'd have a brown. Nothing big, but we got our limit of 10.
I sure that was fun, though.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't do it today at this age, but that was 20 years ago. I was younger and dumber.
Well, we're always younger. It seems like we're always dumber. But, speaking of, what, you got something there?
No, there was a caller. I just wanted to pass on some information.
Yeah.
Leo just was saying how, like, Woodman's apparently takes checks, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what he told me.
They'll take
well,
a check.
Well, thanks, Leo.
Thanks, Leo.
All right. Well, right now we're going to take a break. And when we come back... Hey, have you ever had to shoot a grizzly bear in self-defense? I'll tell you about a guy who did. All right? We'll tell you about that when we come back here on the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
All right. Welcome back. to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Tom's chair dancing over there.
I'm just moving my coffee cup there.
It's like, it's like when people are at a concert with their lighters. Tom's like doing it with his coffee mug.
I got my coffee cup up in here. Hey.
Careful. Careful, big fella, that you don't spill
now,
that.
Now, Danny, it would be a true statement that if you're going to be attacked by a grizzly bear, you have the legal right to shoot it, to kill it, right?
Anything attacks me,
yeah,
you got the right to defend yourself.
Exactly.
That's in the Constitution.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, so anyway, this Montana guy, he's out there in Montana, 35-year-old guy, Brian.
That's because he's from Montana.
And he thinks this grizzly bear is going to try to eat him. So he was loaded for bear, I guess. But, you know, he had a weapon with him, and he kills this grizzly bear. He made one little mistake, though. He cut off the paws. He wanted to save the paws with the claws and all that.
Mm-hmm.
He got fined $5,000 and 3 years of probation because you can't. It's an endangered species in Montana, and you can't cut any. It was okay for him to defend himself, but not cut those claws, those paws off with the claws. He couldn't do that.
Yeah.
What's the big deal? It's dead. Why can't you keep? I mean, what? Well, I don't understand.
The people.
I don't understand.
Because they figure that will discourage people from just killing one so they can cut off the paws or get some claws or some kind of souvenir and then say, I was defending myself. So if they know they can't keep any part of it whatsoever, that would discourage anybody who'd be tempted.
Yeah, I was going to say, is there a big market for grizzly bear claws?
Actually,
maybe
I think
it's the Chinese market.
I think that's the gall.
it's the rhino horns.
It's the gallbladder on black bear.
Oh, really?
And there's a huge market. That's just like rhino horn gallbladders. Yeah. I've heard can go for, I don't know, I heard something years ago, $500, and people would kill black bear just to take the gallbladder out. And then it's another one of those. Why is everything in Asia an aphrodisiac? Just like the rhino horn.
Yeah.
Haven't they heard of the little blue pill?
Yeah.
So I think the gallbladder was another one of those things. Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. So they don't want you poaching.
To tell you the truth, if I was opening up a bear, I wouldn't even know what the gallbladder was.
I was
going to
say, I wouldn't know what
part is it?
That would be, I can figure out the heart.
Yeah.
Liver.
Yeah.
Lungs.
Mm-hmm.
Intestines, gall. I think the gallbladder is somewhere in there.
Oh yeah, it's somewhere in there.
You got one too inside.
Yeah, we all got one. Yeah.
I wonder if someone would want to.
I wonder if they want
you
my
and cut
gallbladder.
It out and sell yours to the Asians.
Yeah, you can have my gallbladder.
Just tell them it's. How would they know the difference between a black bear gallbladder and a human gallbladder? Isn't a gallbladder about a gallbladder about, you know, if it's the same size mammal?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
But the bear's gallbladder has some special.
Yeah, it's got something special.
And you know, that when I shot my black bear years ago, it came back and it was missing at least one or two of the claws. And I wondered whether somebody confiscated one of those claws. Well, bear claw necklace would be really cool, Tom.
Yeah, I suppose it would. Yes.
Yeah. It'd be pretty neat. And you know the Native Americans, at least some tribes in the U.S., they actually revered the black bear. They thought that it was kind of like part of their great spirit, maybe ancestor. I think some of the tribes actually wouldn't even kill the black bear.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't think they had that same attitude with the grizzly bear, however, because the grizzly bear's gonna kill you. So
he's gonna have you for lunch.
Great spirit be damned.
Yeah.
Better get some arrows in that bear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
After the gut report today, you know, there's a reason they call me Nostradamus.
I'm gonna after
the gut report, which comes at 6:30 in the morning, well, after the 6:30 break, I'm going to tell you why that I've been predicting something for a couple of years. Or actually, I've been saying, why don't we do it, you know, and they weren't doing it. Now it seems like the government's going to do it. But I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too soon. So I'll wait a little bit. I'll wait a little bit. Because we got a lot of stuff coming up. We got the gut report. We got the Hornswoggle. And
so now,
yeah, we got it.
So now that you got everybody on the edge of their seat.
Yeah, I got to wait.
When, El Guapo, do you plan on doing the second hour maybe?
No. Doing what?
What you're talking about.
Oh, no, after the 6:30 break. After the
6:30.
After the gut report.
After the gut report.
Yeah, after the gut report.
I hope it's a good gut.
Because then it is good. It's awesome. And then we lead right into the Hornswoggle. And it's like,
no,
it just,
I mean the whole,
it flows.
I hope the gut report's good today.
Oh, actually, I'm going to be, I can't say pissing and moaning on the radio, so I'd have
you just
to say.
Said.
So I'd have to say.
Come on, Tom. This is the
P&M.
Family.
I'd have to be P&M-ing.
Family show.
I'm going to be complaining about something in the fishing, in the cooking world.
You could say. Urinating and
yeah, there
moaning.
You go. Moaning. There we go. Urinating.
Somehow that
and moaning.
Sounds just as bad, man.
Oh, goodness. And there's Sam just shaking his head, wondering what the heck are these guys doing? Now they're going to get me in trouble.
Nah, I've heard worse. Hey, there's some fisheries going on, Tom. I'll
figure
out
around
this. If you want to go to Dick Smith's website, they've got kind of a list of most of them, but I got a few of the highlights. Now, I don't know which one. Waterfront has one every Saturday, basically. I don't know which one they have today, but I know the today's the first, so the Delafield American Legion has one out at their Legion Hall out there in Okachi, I guess it is. And that's like all lakes. That's a pretty big one. They got gun raffles there, too. I used to go there and buy tickets. So that's one if you want to go spend some money and not win a gun, you could. Then next week, let's see, the Valley Rod and Gun Club has one on Lake Keesis. Next week, the 8th Badger Fishermen's League is going to be on Pewaukee. Yeah, that's at our waterfront.
The one on Lake Keesis, where do they hold that one out of?
I don't.
It doesn't say?
I didn't. I just jotted these down quickly.
Well, they can Google the Valley.
Just Google, Valley Rod and Gun Lake. Have you ever fished Lake Keesis?
Oh, yeah.
I've never fished that.
I've fished it ice fishing and open water fishing both.
Pretty good?
Yes, very good lake.
Bass, pike?
Everything. They got everything in
really?
It. Except muskie, I think. I don't think
it's
they have
muskie. It's a smaller lake, right?
It's a smaller lake, but they got everything in it. The only problem, Danny, is that the launch is down this big, steep hill.
Right.
But where you park is up the hill, down the road, away. You know, it's like it's a pain.
Or over the river and through the woods.
Yeah,
and up
exactly.
The,
yeah.
So you might need oxygen as you're halfway back.
Yep, exactly. Yeah,
gotcha. Let's see. Badger Fishermen's League is going to be on Pewaukee next week. I mentioned that, I guess, on the 8th. 15th, the Oconomowoc Rugby. Some rugby club's going to have one on Okachi. And I think they're going to have various weigh-in sites. You'd have to Google that. And then the big one, my favorite one, all my buddies, all the local Pewaukee Sodbusters will be out for the Walleyes for Tomorrow Pewaukee chapter, the 15th of February. And Tom Kep does a great job of organizing that one. So if you're interested in making some donations, too, they're collecting donations. Let's see, the 16th, the day after, that's when the Lions Club has one on Pewaukee out of Waterfront as well. They always do theirs on like a Sunday, the day after. The other thing that's going down February 8th, I believe the sturgeon spearing starts.
Yeah, and we mentioned that on the show. When was that? That was like last month about how there were, I forget how many, 100-pound plush sturgeons caught last year.
I think there were about 20 of them.
Yeah,
there
was about 20. Yeah.
It was in Badger Sportsman magazine.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, there was a bunch of them.
So. Now this year, of course, conditions could be rough. They haven't had great ice, but apparently there's still guys planning on getting out. If you're lucky enough to draw a tag for those upriver,
like
areas.
Like Poygan and that?
Yeah, where my brother got the one years ago. Yeah. That's shallower and probably froze over a little bit. Better, but I don't think they'll be driving big vehicles out necessarily. I think
probably not. And that's big water to be hiking out with those shanties. You know, I mean, How do you drag those big shanties out there if you can't take the vehicles out? Unless you got like an ATV, something lighter, a snowmobile, ATV.
My brother actually had a, he actually had one made. He actually saw a guy who had one, and it was like a tent type of thing, almost a teepee type thing with a heavy, dark kind of a cloth.
Sure, like canvas.
Canvas. Yeah. And actually, it's funny. My brother was telling my dad about it. So my dad went to some awning place in Green Bay and had it made for my brother. Said, here, is this what you're talking about? And it's perfect. And it's like, it's really dark color. And it's perfectly, if you get it closed up, it can be, you know, perfectly dark in there. Yeah. And then your eyes adjust and you can see down into the water. So you, so you don't need to bring a big giant wood. You know, I guess the other thing about those big shanties is, what do you do with them once you pull them off the ice? You put them in your backyard, I guess?
Yeah. Put them out in the back 40.
You almost got to be a farmer to want to have that, because I don't think the wife would want to look out the back window next to the bird feeder and see some big...
Well, on Winnebago, if you go out on the lake on Winnebago, as you're going down a shoreline, let's say, every now and then you'll see the spearing shack in the yard.
Yeah, if you lived, I guess if you lived right on the lake, you just pull it right up alongside next to the boat lift.
Yep, just pull it right up.
And there it is.
Yep.
Ready to go.
Pull it right up. I mean, what the heck? It could be like a little playhouse for the kids.
Oh, it's all fun and games till one of the kids gets trapped inside and suffocates.
I don't think they would.
It falls through the hole in the bottom of it.
Yeah, onto the grass. Or the, no grass, actually, if it was sitting on it.
I guess that would be probably safe.
Well, we got to go to a break. Coming up next is the Gut Report. Stay tuned. I'm going to complain. And then right after the Gut Report, I'm going to be telling you about something as to why they call me Nostradamus. And then after the 6:45 break, Danny's going to play Hornswoggle with you. So stay tuned for all that and more on the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
Come here. I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you. I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly.
The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor. Well, do you watch TV shows, you know, cooking shows like Cook's Country or America's Test Kitchen? There's a lot of these different shows, but those two are the most egregious when it comes to this. Char. You know what char is, Danny? You know what, when they say
didn't she and Sonny have a TV show years ago?
No. Char, a synonym for char is burn. They always say, oh, you want to put a nice char on this. No, I don't want my food burnt. You can brown it, but don't burn it. And they're always talking about this nice char. They had nice chars on green onions. No, they were black. They were burnt. You know, they had this nice char on this pork, whatever it was. No, that's black. It's burnt. I don't, you know, well, Sam was telling me he likes a little bit of burnt on the ends of his steak, you know, where the fat is. Okay, I like that. That's okay. But for what, the rest of it, no, browning,
you guys,
fine. Char, no way.
Do you guys want to know a fascinating health thing about that?
About char?
The burnt char meat from a grill is kind of considered a carcinogen. Carcinogen.
Yeah.
There's some...
It's going to kill you.
A bit of a risk of cancer associated with those chars from grills on meat.
So it just goes to show, Cook's Country, America's Test Kitchen, they're trying to, you know, put you 6 feet under. Anyway,
you're too young to die, Wes.
Anyway.
Luckily, I can't remember the last time I ate a steak.
Okay, good. Well, as long as you don't do it a lot. Everything in moderation. Yeah.
So when it comes to charring, just remember, char means burnt, and you don't want it burnt. The Gut Report is brought to you by Discount Liquor, where you're going to find the best price, selection, and service at 51st and Oklahoma in Milwaukee and Main Street in Barstow and Waukesha. For weekly specials, go to DiscountLiquorInc.com.
Now you're playing a piano over there. Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. So, let me get this straight.
Okay.
Your gut report, Tom, was don't burn your food?
That was the report? No, that these shows try to fool you into that burning your food is good. They call it char. See, they just changed it. Kind of like what the Democrats do with global warming. They changed it to
Ooh, good one, Tom.
They changed it to, what do they call it again?
Climate change. Climate change, yeah.
Yeah, see, so you know when they're cooking, especially on a grill, they're going to burn stuff. I mean, it just happens to all of us. You're going to get a little burning.
Not me. But, I'm on top
of
it, man.
But the thing is, so they don't want you to think that they burnt it, so they just call it, oh, we charred it, and it's wonderful. No, it's not wonderful. But anyway, Danny, I promise you something. Yeah. Do you remember a while back we talked about Isle Royale in Lake Superior? They got all these moose, but there's too many moose. They're eating all the vegetation. They're starving. So they said, well, we used to have a wolf population there. So in order to control the moose herd, we're gonna airlift wolves at a cost of, oh, I forget how many, thousands of dollars a piece. Mm-hmm. They're going to put like a couple million dollars into airlifting a half a dozen wolves onto the island to eat some of the moose, right?
Well, I don't think they were to eat the moose. They just wanted wolves there.
No, they were to eat the moose. They were to control the population of the moose.
And that's when you said, why don't they just do
a
hunt?
Why don't they just sell hunting permits? Yeah, they could make some real good money. Guess what? Some Michigan lawmakers believe the federal government should open Isle Royale National Park to moose hunters. Oh, my goodness. See, these people must be listening to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. They got to be listening to us, Danny.
Sure, they're listening to you, Tom.
There could be more than 2,000 mice, right. Mooses, on Isle Royale.
Wasn't that
and wolves are the main predator, but there's not enough of them.
Isn't that a book of moose and men?
Of mice and men.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, mice and men. Yeah, tell me about the rabbit.
Lenny.
Lenny.
And
tell
rabbits.
Me about the rabbit.
Yes, rabbits, rabbit. Lenny.
So anyway, rabbits. Now they haven't made... They haven't made a determination on how they're going to do this. It's just lawmakers are saying, hey, maybe we should do this. We should sell these special permits so that these moose hunters can go out there and shoot some mooses and alleviate the problem.
How many years do you think this might take, Tom?
Well, it's government, Dan. So
it could happen maybe in 10 years.
It might happen in our lifetime. I don't know. maybe not.
Yeah.
Oh, but I just thought it was interesting that, oh, boy, somebody's light bulb went on in their head, you know?
Yeah. Can you imagine, though, shooting a moose on Isle Royale? You know, my dad did an Apostle Islands deer hunt many years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Years ago. There was an Apostle Islands deer hunt. He went up with a group of guys. And nobody got anything. All they saw was a wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah, a wolf went walking by somebody. And it came walking by the guy, and the guy said it was kind of weird. It's kind of creepy. Like the wolf was broadside to him and didn't look directly at him, but it was kind of like the wolf was like, kind of like out of the corner of his eye.
Keeping an eye on him.
The wolf was giving him the side eye.
Yeah.
Like the wolf knew he was there. Yeah. He's just trotting like, don't think I don't know you're there.
Yeah, exactly.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said it was kind of creepy. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad they're going to do this finally. It's a smart thing to do, not the dumb thing to airlift wolves on.
Speaking of predators, Tom, I went out last week, and you know I'm fresh off my my great success shooting a red fox, so I thought now it's time to shoot Wile E. Coyote. So I went out where I'd seen some tracks. Actually, I'd seen one. I think I mentioned I saw one when I shot that squirrel at 91.5 yards. So I went out there, sat 4 or 5 different spots over 6 hours. Do you want to know how many coyotes I saw, Tom?
None.
Zero zilch. I never see crap. And then to add insult to injury, right? I got my, little collar. I got the old power dog made by Primos. I picked it up years ago for about $100, I think. And then it's got the remote. And then I got another electronic gadget that has like a little free kind of like a
tail,
a critter on top, right?
Yeah.
And you hit the button and then that goes shaking around.
It wiggles, yeah.
Yeah. So you put that out along with your call and that's supposed to keep Wiley's attention as opposed to don't mind this guy sitting over here wearing all camo head to toe. Yeah. Just look at this. So at the last stop, I picked up all my stuff, threw it in my duffel bag and, went back to the truck and drove home, and I just left it there overnight. And then Sunday night, I'm cleaning out, thinking, well, I might as well bring this stuff inside. And I grabbed the duffel bag and Guess what I didn't have in my duffel bag?
Your call.
The call.
You left it out there?
I left it out there sitting on a log, right?
Oh, no.
So I went out there, and nobody's going to be out there, right? It's private land. I went out there on Monday, and I thought for sure the batteries would be dead.
Mm-hmm.
The batteries weren't dead. It was still on.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, it was still the display, you know, was lit up on it. And, yeah, so that's, you know, I don't know, this predator hunting. But then I read one thing online where this one guy says that he might go and do, you know, 40 different spots, 40 different sets and not see anything. But then the next one is the one that he gets one. So I guess that predator hunting is something that you just got to, it's kind of like casting for muskies. You got to just keep doing it and doing it and doing it.
Hit all your spots.
And you got to be willing to get up early in the morning.
Yeah.
And then the nighttime too. Now, if you get a moonlit, it is legal to hunt at night for coyotes. And as far as if you get out there with the snow and a moonlit night and a good scope, as far as using a spotlight, though, from what I understand, and check your regulations, don't take my word for it, you can't sit there and have a spotlight in your hand and shine the field and try and spot eyes. But I believe a light is allowed at the point of kill. In other words, if you have a flashlight duct taped to your rifle and you turn it on right when you shoot them, I guess that's okay.
What about night vision scopes? Would that be legal?
I suppose. I don't know.
That'd be pretty cool if you could afford one. You know, they're expensive.
They're coming down in price.
Are they? But that would be cool, night vision scopes.
It would be cool to go out on a moonlit night and wait on the field, but I've done that too and never saw anything. It'd be cool to see one come slinking across the middle of the moonlit field.
Well, I've never tried it. As a matter of fact, before I kick it, I'm definitely going
to
do it.
I think the way to do it,
I'm going to do
it, to be honest with you, would be probably do a trip out west. Where those guys sit up and they shoot like 20 of them. You could probably hire an outfitter to go on out, sit on some fence row, and because there's so many of them out
the
there.
The shows I've seen on that, Dan, they're taking long shots too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're taking some long shots. You know, 200 yards is like a minimum. It seems like, you know, they're just taking a lot of long shots.
And they got
shots.
Bipods and
they're all tricked out.
Typically a 223 is a pretty common one. A lot of the AR platforms are being used for that type predator hunting, and then they can go bang, bang, bang and blast some coyotes.
Yeah, and those coyotes have no clue that those guys are there. They have no clue.
I saw one. I got a videotape where there's about 10 coyotes come in, and these guys open up, right?
Yeah.
Bang, bang, bang. There's coyotes doing somersaults in the air, coyotes running left, coyotes running right. I mean, they're all going in different directions like they didn't know what was going on. Yeah. And they ended up getting all of them, I think.
Wow, awesome. Well, you know what time it is, folks. It is now time to play the Hornswoggle, brought to you by Curly's Waterfront Pub on Pewaukee Lake. Earn a $10 gift certificate by coming up with the right statement. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
If you have won in one of our contests in like the last month or so, try and give somebody a chance, some new blood a chance to win.
Yeah, Wes will be checking the names.
799-1250. Call right away, though, because we get a lot of calls coming in before break.
Yes.
Wes will grab it quick as he can. We'll put you on hold probably for we got break coming up.
Yeah, 799-1250, 414-799-1250. Be a winner of that $10 gift certificate to Curly's Waterfront Pub.
Wait a second.
What?
It's the Carl's Country Market, you bonehead.
Oh, am I a bonehead is right. Carl's Country Market out there. This is the second time I've done that. They're out there in Menominee Falls, right on the corner of Silver Spring and Pilgrim Road. Oh, man, I'm sorry, Paul. Paul is the guy who owns it and runs it, you know.
He's a great fisherman,
Carl
too.
Carl was his dad. Oh, Paul, yeah. As a matter of fact, see, I was going to do that before I got sick, you know, before I went in the hospital, and I was going to, you know, contact Paul and try to get him on the air with
us. Well,
let's
get on that, buddy.
Because he's got some really good stories. As a matter of fact, he was up in Canada wolf hunting, shot like three or four of them or
really?
Something like that. Last year. He goes to Lake Erie catches the big walleyes. He catches musky, northern. Then he goes out west for the grizzly bear or polar bear. Or I don't know whatever he does.
There ain't no polar bear in Montana.
Whatever. All right. We're going to go. We got a contestant. So stay tuned for more with the Hornswoggle.
Choice there, Wesley. What that means. Welcome back to the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Do we have a lucky contestant for the Hornswoggle?
Yes, we do. Tom in Newburg.
Hello, Tom.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen.
You know, you're the first guy we've had call to be a contestant from Newburg. And we were just wondering, where the heck is Newburg?
Newburg. Well, it's out in Ozaukee, Washington County on the border.
Okay.
Right between West Bend and Port Washington.
Okay, got it. I knew I drove by it one time.
Gosh darn, we're going to have to make a field trip to Newburg.
Right along Highway 33.
Right. Gotcha.
Right.
Okay, so here we go, Tom. As you know, one of the famous days is coming up, I believe, February 2nd, Punxsutawney Phil. Is that his name?
Yep.
Phil.
Groundhog Day.
Exactly. So anyway, he's going to be coming out. Did you guys hear the news story that PETA was complaining because they felt that Punxsutawney Phil, that they thought it was like cruel to make him like,
come out of his cage for a few minutes.
And they wanted to get like a electronic or robotic groundhog instead.
Oh my lord.
Now here's the thing, guys. Punxsutawney Phil lives a better life than we have. He has air conditioning in the summertime. He's got heat in the winter. He has to get a medical checkup every year.
Probably feed him well.
He gets better treatment than you and I do, than most people do, and
wow.
PETA. Yeah, so, but the Groundhog Association pretty much told PETA to go pound sand and said they're not going to, they got Phil still going. So anyway, I thought we'd stick on the woodchucks, and so here we go. These are all in regards to the woodchuck. The first one, the woodchuck is a diurnal, sun-loving creature. It carries on its activities pretty much during the daytime, not nighttime. Hornswoggle or no Hornswoggle?
Oh, that's true. That's no Hornswoggle.
No Hornswoggle.
All right.
Yes.
You don't have too much luck hunting or shooting them at night.
No. Although I do have an interesting story. Once you hang up, keep listening. I do have one interesting story. Another one. Woodchucks love to travel long distances for their food. They may make a circuit of a couple of miles in one day just looking for that right nice clover.
That's a Hornswoggle.
That's a Hornswoggle. Woodchucks do not travel. If the food supply is ample, they are unlikely to be found more than 150 feet from their dens. In spring, the males will travel from one den to another looking for a mate.
Yeah.
It'd be good to be a woodchuck. Just knock on a door. Hey, anybody?
hey, you up for it today?
You know, being a woodchuck and you don't have to travel much, Tom. You're just right there.
Yeah. That'd be all right. Well, you're an automatic winner, Tom. Danny wants to ask you one more to see if you can hit the trifecta.
Okay, and so you already got this one, but you got to listen carefully. Another name for the woodchuck is the ground dog.
Ground dog. That would be a little bit of a horn.
Okay,
all right. Hey, Tom, I got you're a winner of the Carl's Country Market $10 gift certificate. But I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Do woodchucks really chuck wood?
Oh, on TV.
God, on TV they do.
I love that commercial. It's so funny.
You guys are thinking just what I'm thinking. You woodchuck, quit talking about wood.
Well, everybody knows that's from a tongue twister, right?
Yeah.
How much wood chuck chuck if woodchuck could chuck wood?
Yeah. And that's an easy one.
Yeah, I did that good.
The seashore one is the tough one.
Yeah.
She sells seashells by the seashore. But you got to say it fast. That's a tough one.
Around the rugged rock, the ragged rascal ran.
Yeah, that one's not bad either. But the S one.
I can't do the SSH ones. I end up saying bad words.
All right, Tom, congratulations.
Make sure Sam gets your address there correct, and we'll get that certificate sent out. Thanks for listening.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right. Bye now.
He was pretty up on his woodchucks.
Yeah, he was, yeah. Have you ever shot a woodchuck?
Funny you ask that. Many years ago, I was in Waupaca County, and it used to be that woodchucks were unprotected, right?
Right.
Now they actually... They were protected for a while. Now I think they actually have if you got a small game license now. And many years ago, they used to actually have bounties on them when my dad was on a farm growing up. They thought that their holes, cows and horses would break their legs.
Oh, yeah. They had a
bounty on them. But I shot one in Waupaca years ago. There was one in the garden right by my buddy's trailer. So one evening, he made the mistake of poking his head out, and I shot him in the head with the .22. Another time I was out hunting with my .22 pistol and one went running off through the grass and I shot it. And later I felt kind of bad. I thought, I didn't really need to shoot that.
Did you eat him?
Well, no, I didn't. But funny story, when I was in Missouri, we were out bow hunting there near Springfield, Missouri, and a buddy of mine, DeLuca, Italian guy from, New Hampshire, I guess he was from, he had a thick accent. He had set up a deer stand and put out apples, right?
Yeah.
And his apples, the deer, so-called deer, were going through his apples like crazy, right?
Yeah.
So he went out one day and sat in the deer stand, and he fell asleep. And he woke up, and when he opened his eyes, he sees the most giant woodchuck he's ever seen in his life. And guess what he's doing?
He's eating them apples.
He's mowing those apples down like a son of a gun. And so... He took a shot with his bow because he was really ticked off that dang woodchuck was eating his apples, and he shot the arrow right under it. But it was really funny when he came back to me. He had this accent, and he goes, "Bush, this woodchuck, it was huge." You know, he says "huge" instead of "huge."
Yeah.
I get him going, DeLuca, tell me again about that. How big was it? He goes, "It was huge." I got him saying it like 10 times. I and my brother are cracking up. So I go out there hunting squirrels a couple weeks later, and I go walking down the same valley, and running up in front of me, I see this back end, a big butt, of look like a baby grizzly bear running along the ground, and guess what it was?
A big woodchuck.
A huge woodchuck. DeLuca was right. This thing was huge. I'm reading my book here. It says that the record size this guy knew of was his buddy shot at 15 3/4 pound in 1924. I'm telling you what, this woodchuck weighed 16 pounds if it weighed an ounce. It was a monster.
And I suppose they got a lot of hair on them, which makes them look even bigger.
Even huger. And DeLuca had fattened them up with apples for 2 months.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
I took a poke at him running with the .22 as it was trying to escape. And, you know, woodchucks don't really run that fast.
No, they don't.
They kind of lumber.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was giving it its best, but I tried taking a shot at it with the .22, but I was laughing so hard I couldn't shoot straight.
Oh, that's...
Because it was huge.
I wonder, you know, are woodchucks, you know, you got the book there. Are woodchucks part of the rodent family?
Well, yes, they are, Tom. I believe they are part of the Rodentiae family.
All right.
And you were talking about eating, table fare. It says woodchucks, especially the young of the year, make very good eating.
Hmm.
You just got to take extra care to remove all fat and membrane from the carcass before cooking. In the days when the Indians controlled eastern North America, the woodchuck was probably the most important meat staple of their diet.
Wow.
Woodchucks were more plentiful and easier to secure than deer. And... they found in these Indian villages, they found a preponderance, good word, I like that,
yes.
A preponderance, Tom, of woodchuck bones. And the Algonquin Indians near Quebec regularly eat muskrats and beaver, but would not think of eating a woodchuck.
How about that?
How about that? This from Sportsman's Guide to Game Animals by Leonard Lee Rue III.
Wow.
I love this book. This has everything you want to know.
About woodchucks. Well, and other stuff.
The next chapter, Yellow-Bellied Marmot. I've always wanted to know about the yellow-bellied marmot.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of woodchucks in Wisconsin?
Interesting.
Do they call them groundhogs also?
Yeah. They're actually, if you drive along the road along our local interstates here, Tom, even like in Milwaukee, near the zoo years ago, I used to look off to the side and there was like some rolling grass. Of course, now with the new highway that they put in, that area might be gone.
Yeah, right.
But I used to always see woodchucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look off to the side of the road, you'll sometimes see them. They'll be hanging around medians and everything else. I think the woodchucks are making a strong comeback, Tom.
All right. Okay, well, you know, I'm surprised. You know, if John, our good friend John, if he ever got shot one, he'd probably try eating it.
Just to say he did.
Yep. All right, folks, we got to go to a quick break. Second hour coming up. Stay tuned.
The following is paid commercial programming. The content and opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect those of WSSP, Entercom Milwaukee, its staff, or sponsors. From Lake Michigan to the Mississippi, and every river, lake, and field in between. Let's talk everything outdoors.
Aboard! Ha, ha, ha! You're on the crazy train!
All aboard!
Welcome to the Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Fasten your seatbelts for a wild ride through Wisconsin's outdoors. Only on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
This is the second hour of your ride on the crazy train. You know, you got to get your ticket punched twice, once for the first hour, once for the second. But anyway, we come to you every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. We are live, and you never know sometimes what we might be talking about. But it's generally going to be about fishing or hunting, or which way the toilet paper should be put, underneath or over the top. Anyway, but you never know. 799-1250 is the phone number, or you can email us live at ceoguys@yahoo.com.
Also, mention the prizes that are awarded are the slow.
I was just going to
You got that. Oh, good.
The prize contests on the Cutting Edge Outdoors are the sole responsibility of the Cutting Edge Outdoors radio show and its sponsors. Any questions or comments should be directed to ceoguys@yahoo.com. And before I get to this part here, well, I'll tell you what, I'll do this now, because then that'll give Wes time to get some information. How would you like to go, folks? Two of you could go to the Muskie Expo February 14th, 15th, and 16th. You could go all 3 days. I got two passes, $20 a piece.
Free,
yeah, and you could go all 3 days. These are a 3-day pass to the Muskie Expo.
Value.
That's right, and you could go up there in Washington County to the Waukesha County Fairgrounds.
How do they win that, Tom?
All they got to do is call 799-1250.
Now,
I'm not guaranteeing we're going to take the first caller. I'm not guaranteeing the second or third. Wes can pick whatever caller
he wants.
It's
your show, Wes. Do whatever you want.
That's right. He's going to. Now,
Nostra Wes is over there.
And then while Wes is doing that and he's going to get somebody's name and address.
Yes.
All right. Here we got an email.
Okay.
I kind of like this. Is kind of nice.
Oh, that's nice. I like
Tom, do you ever use the snake method to smoke in your Weber grill? Number one, that's the first question. It's like, no, I don't. I've seen it. I know about it, but no, I haven't. But, yeah, it might be a way to go.
What is the snake method?
You put your coals around in the circle on the outside of your smoking grill, okay? And then you put your meat in the middle. And then it gets it from all sides then. And it goes slowly around. Keeps the grill hot enough to cook it, but all the sides will get the hotter. And as it goes around, yeah, it takes longer. Takes longer. So you've got more coals in there. It takes longer and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, anyway, and then he says, P.S. I smoked a turkey a long time ago using your brine recipe. Best thing I ever smoked. Well, thank you, Ken. I appreciate it. You know, just like with fish, you got to brine that meat too. You know,
very important.
Yeah. You got to brine the fish. What?
Oh, we got a caller for.
We just, okay, put them on.
Oh, wait.
Who is it? That's all right.
Oh, my bad. I didn't know if
No, that's right. Who is it?
Rick from the West Side.
Okay. Hey,
what
Rick
if he
from
just
the
wants
West
to
Side.
Win?
Yeah, I know. Rick, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Now, are you a muskie nut?
I am a muskie nut.
And you need these two tickets, don't you?
I do.
Because I wanted them to go to somebody who really needed them and wanted them, you know. So I'm going to be mailing those out to you. All right?
Sounds good.
And you got to do us a favor, though.
Sure.
And now that's coming up in a couple of weeks. So can you give us a call the Saturday after it and let us know what you thought of it, what you all bought, what you, who you saw, and, you know, just give us some info, some rundown?
Sure.
All right. Okay, thanks. Now you stay on hold, and Wes is going to get your info, okay?
Thank you.
All right, thanks. We'll be right back.
Change his name to
Sam. I know.
Poor Sam.
I did that one on purpose.
I know.
Of course. But anyway, all right, so somebody won two. Now next week we're going to give away two more tickets.
Okay.
Not this week, next week. And
that's good incentive to listen next week, Tom.
Yes, definitely. That's a really good value. That's for $40.
Great value.
And let's see now. I got something else.
Times 20, 40. Really good deal. What else you got in the Durkee mailbag there, Tom?
It was an email from myself to remind myself to give away the two passes.
You sent an email to yourself?
Yeah, I do that every now and then. Yeah, well, see, yeah, I send it to myself on our CEO website.
Yeah.
Because then I know when I open it up in the morning when on a Saturday morning when we're here is that, well, that reminds me. So, yeah, sometimes I got to leave notes for myself because I forget. That happens. But, yeah, folks, you can email us, too. You don't have to be me to email us. You can email us at ceoguys@yahoo.com, or you can call us at 414-799-1250. Okay.
So we talked a little bit about the brown trout.
Okay, go ahead.
What do you got? You got a fishing report for us?
I got something else for another topic.
Okay.
This might last a while, and this one we might get calls on.
Okay.
Remember how we got a lot of calls last week on should you or can you keep fish in a certain size fish, whatever? Okay, here's another one along those same lines. Mounted fish size. Now, I've always, you know, it comes up in topics, you know, every now and then when you're sitting around with the guys and talking about how big should a fish be before you should mount it, okay? So let's start at the bottom rung, Dan, you and me. Bluegill, what do you think for that? I'm going to say 10 inches.
I concur.
Okay. Crappie, here's a tough one. Crappie, 12, 13, 14, what do you think?
14.
All right. I'll concur with that, but I would put a caveat saying that if you just want to show what the fish looks like, a 12-inch would be all right, too. But if I would go with the 14, because that's possible. That's doable.
Right.
Perch, I think 12 inches for perch, although there are areas where you can get bigger ones, like on Lake Michigan. But will that happen in your lifetime? I don't know.
I'd probably go with 14 on the perch, too.
Okay. All right. And folks, 799-1250, you chime in if you want. You know, give us your thoughts. Okay, now let's move up the scale. Smallmouth bass. My thought is anything over 20 inches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Largemouth bass. My thought is anything over 21 inches.
Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty big, 21
yeah,
inches.
Right,
That's a lot of fish. Walleyed pike. I hate that when they call that on the grocery stores. They say, hey, we got the walleyed pike.
28.
You say 28? See, now I was going to say 30. But it's in the same area. 28. What if it was a really fat 28?
Right. 28
then it's like, yeah.
Can be pushing 10 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. Right. All right. Especially coming out of the Fox River in spring.
I have
spring.
Caught some 28-inchers that did weigh 10 pounds.
All right. And then the last one.
Pull a spoon.
No, two of them left. Northern pike. I would say anything over 40 inches. And you've got one of those.
40. Yeah, I've got several over 40.
Right? You got a 42 mounted?
I got a 4. No, that was a 43 and a 43 half. Okay. Ice fishing, a 42 casting. My first one over 40. I caught a 45
Okay, well, we don't need to hear of all the 40s you caught.
Ice fishing.
You agree. 40 inches or
I kind of like this.
Right?
I kind of like this gloating about my plus 40-inch spike over the years.
And then we come to muskies. Now, to me, mostly everybody says anything over 50 inches. Got to be 50 inches. But what about that 4-footer that weighs 30 pounds?
Yeah. 48 inches.
48 inches, I think, too. That's pretty big. Four feet, that's a big fish.
That's a nice fish. Yeah.
Yeah, that is. So we got 48 inches on muskie, 40 inches on pike. We got a fat 28 or 30 incher on walleye, preferably over 10 pounds. Yeah.
So to my way of thinking, here's my triple crown of fishing.
Okay.
Triple crown of fishing. You ready? And you can do one of two.
I think you hit it already.
One of two ways. You could go with 10-pound walleye, 20-pound pike, 30-pound muskie.
Right.
Or you could go with 30-inch walleye, 40-inch pike, 50-inch muskie. That's pretty close to the triple crown for those game fish, and maybe even a 20-inch smallie if you want to get a big smallie in there. That's all into that range where you got a darn nice one.
Yeah, I always tell people, you know, when I was guiding, I said it's very subjective. I said it's up to you. If you feel good about mounting that 18 or 19-inch bass, you know, smallmouth, that's up to you, you know, if you want to. But I think you're going to get a bigger one.
It's not always the size.
Yeah.
It's the memory and the story behind it.
Yeah, because, you know, there might be a guy.
Who were you with? What were you doing? Was it an accidental catch, a memorable catch? Was your kid there?
And, you know, Dan, I'm not into mounting fish. I'd rather have a photo, an 8x10 photo. It reminds me more of the day and everything, you know, holding the fish. Mounts are cool. I like them, but I'm just into more of the photos than the mounts.
Well, I've got some nice mounts.
You do.
In later years, I kind of got to the point where, I got nowhere to put them, you know. So it gets to a point like, now, the muskie mount, one of the nicest mounts you'll ever see of a muskie, go up to Midwestern Shooter Supply, drive on up there.
That's where your muskie is.
And it's right above the fishing counter. So as you walk in Midwestern Shooter Supply, hang a right and head to the fishing department, and on your left-hand side where they got their desk, where they got the spools, the line back behind them and reels and stuff, they got like a service counter.
Right.
Got that beautiful muskie right there. Dan Johnson did it, and that was over 50 inches. And they say Fatante, Lax, they do like the best work, but this muskie's just as good as their work.
Oh, Dan Johnson is great.
He did a great job on that fish.
How come they don't have your northern pike up there? That's a cool mount.
Yeah, I actually, the fins got chipped up on that a little bit when I was, I don't know what happened, when I was hanging it on a different wall. Maybe it fell. I don't know. So I took it to Dan Johnson a while ago to get the fins fixed. Maybe, I don't know, 2-3 years ago I gave it to him. I'll have to ask him because I had told him he could just hang it in his place for the time being.
Okay.
But I was thinking of asking Randy if he wanted to put that up because that's a beautiful, that was the Lake of the Woods 43-inch, 22-pound pike I pulled through the ice up there with Bob Woods of Hoople, North Dakota, up there, Buffalo Bay. Yeah. And those Lake of the Woods pike, that genetic strain, they got these big, beautiful, round kind of ovals on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of a goldish color. They're not a real black, dark pike.
Yeah, it's not the green stuff that we see around here.
It's a rather unique-looking giant pike.
It is. Definitely different. You know, I remember catching one walleye. I might have hit the walleye one with, I think it was 29 inches up on the Fox River. I have never caught a pike over 40 inches or a muskie over 50, but I have caught a 48-inch muskie. But I haven't done that 50-inch mark yet. But 48, okay, I've got that. But what I do have is I've got the 10-inch bluegill, I got the 12-inch perch, I got the 14-inch crappie, I got the smallmouth bass, the largemouth bass. Those I all got, yeah. But I don't have the really big pike and muskie, you know, the really big ones.
Yeah, it's like anything.
Yeah.
It's like calling for coyotes, Tom. You got to just set up another set and keep plugging away at it.
Just keep plugging. Well, Dan, you know what's coming up tomorrow, late afternoon, around dinner time? The
Uber Bowl,
the big game. Yeah, we can't say, you know, the certain type of bowl. You're not supposed. That's illegal. The station could get sued.
Really?
Isn't that right, Sam?
We can't say.
We can't say the S bowl.
There's certain ways you can. You just have to be careful.
Yeah. We better not.
With Uber?
Yeah, Uber Bowl would be fine. So anyway, the big Uber
Bowl.
The
big game. Wait a second. That whole thing's kind of stupid, though. What do you got to pay them?
Yeah. To say it. Yes, you do.
You just can't make money.
Yeah, you can't make
it.
Money on it. And
well, we're not making any money if we say
no,
it.
But our contestants might.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's just say the big game tomorrow, and that's coming up next in our NFL football picking contest. And we're going to need one caller to win. Here's where Curly's Waterfront Pub comes
in. One ticket to paradise.
$10 gift certificate to Curly's Waterfront Pub. And then we're going to take another caller and give away another $10 gift certificate. Now, the first guy's got to pick against the spread. Who's going to win against the spread? The second caller has got to pick the under-over in the points. And the under-over is 54.
So you're going to keep track of this to see if they win and mail them out next week?
Oh, yeah.
You better believe it. So this isn't automatic winner.
Well, it all depends on how we pick. It all depends.
Oh, you mean they got to beat us?
It's individual.
So if we all pick the same as him, then or she.
Well, if the contestant picks San Francisco and we all pick Kansas City, well, that person could win or lose. If Kansas City wins, he or she did not tie us.
What if he picks San Francisco and we all pick San Francisco with
him? Well, then he wins. He ties us. So he's got to win. He's got to beat us or tie us.
So he's got to have one of us pick against him.
He's got to,
No.
Yeah, you're right. One of us picks against him for him to tie.
Okay.
So,
I'm thoroughly confused. This
so we're going to need a couple of callers. Stay on hold.
Contest.
Hold if you're calling. We're going to do the first one right after this break. 7-9.
Well, I took a walk around the world to ease my troubled mind. I left my body lying somewhere in the sands of time. But I watched the world float to the dark side of the moon. I feel there's nothing I can do.
Okay, welcome back to Skipper Bud's Cutting Edge Outdoors. Hey, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for the men in blue, law enforcement officers and folks, first responders, service people. We appreciate everyone who's out there working hard to protect us. And we've got callers now. Are we ready for our contest?
We're ready for
gentlemen?
The contest.
Okay.
Okay. Who do you got first? Tom?
First one's Greg in Pewaukee.
Greg. Hey, Greg. Good morning. Hello.
Hi, I'm Greg from Milwaukee.
Oh,
Milwaukee.
From Milwaukee. Oh.
It's Greg from Milwaukee.
I got to change that. I got to write this down. All right, Greg. Well, Kansas City is favored by 1.5. The sharp money when I was going on Kansas City, they call it the sharps, but you wonder sometimes how sharp they really are.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, who do you like?
I like Kansas City.
All right. Sam?
I like San Francisco to cover.
Okay. Bushy?
Kansas City.
Yeah, and I like Kansas City as well. So you're an automatic winner.
All right.
you can do no worse than tie us. So, all right. What?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Stay on the line so we can get your info, okay?
All righty. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. And who do you got next?
Next one is Jack in Pewaukee.
Jack. Good morning, Jack.
Hello.
All right. The under over is 54 in the big game tomorrow. What do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going over. Last year was a bummer game, very low scoring.
Mm-hmm.
I think this year it's going to be a shootout.
All right. And Sam, what do you think?
I'm going to go over as well.
Okay, Danny?
I'm going to go over as well.
Well, you're an automatic winner because I guarantee it's going to be under. Guaranteed.
I tell you what, it's going to go over by like 1 point at the very end of the game. It'll start out slow the first half, and then it'll be like a snowball rolling downhill second
and that's
half.
That's all that matters.
It could
that's
happen.
All that matters.
Well, you got to stay on the line, okay, Jack, and we're going to get your info, and you'll be getting that $10 gift certificate at Curly's Waterfront Pub, okay?
Thanks a lot. Sure.
Thank you.
Take care,
hold
man.
On. All right. So you're thinking over by a mouse hair. I'm thinking under by a mouse hair. You know, in other words, I think the total might be around
mouse hair.
Might be like 50, 52, 53. I think it's going to be just under. you think it's going to be just over.
Right.
So, in other words, it's going to be around 54, give or take a few.
Yeah. Well, it'll be a great game.
Oh, it's going to be a good game. See, this is what I'm looking at. You know, we know that San Francisco has got a very good defense. Okay. And they're mainly a running team. So they're going to burn up a lot of the clock. Okay. Garoppolo only throws the ball when he has to throw it. Otherwise, they're a running team. So they burn up the clock, less time for more plays, you know, to happen, for touchdowns to happen. Now, on the other side, you got Andy Reid, who I like. Okay. And I hope he wins. But, you know, their defense in the second half of the year really came on. Their defense isn't too shabby either. But I think their offense is just a little bit better. But they rely, it seems like, more on the passing game than running game. So I think the defenses, if they kind of contradict each other, whatever, you know, where I think it might keep it a little bit lower scoring.
Fact of the matter, should be a great game. Nobody really knows.
No, nobody really knows.
Initially, you might say, well, I'm going to go for the great quarterbacks win championships. Well, then you go with Mahomes and KC. But then if you say defenses win championships, then you go with San Francisco. I find it rather ironic, Tom, in that it seemed like, I don't know, maybe even 10 years ago that we were talking about the days of the great defenses and the big defenses, like that was over. The defenses win championships because the league had gotten more wide open, more passing, more scoring, protecting the quarterbacks, making it harder on defenses to manhandle receivers, and all of a sudden everybody's scoring more. But it seems like defenses have caught up again. All of a sudden there are, you know, if you get four guys who can rush the quarterback and put pressure on a quarterback, I don't care how good the quarterback is and his receivers and weapons.
Yeah, if he doesn't have time.
They make everybody, every quarterback, no matter how great they are, they start looking pretty pedestrian when all of a sudden they got all this pressure in their face.
That's right.
It kind of puts them down, you know, to a little bit more lower level there of functioning. So, yeah. So it'll be interesting. Yeah, they've built a great defense there in San Francisco. Yeah. John Lynch, he's done a good job.
Gotta give him a lot of credit.
Done a good job there, but evidently he's one of the finalists for the Hall of Fame. I think John Lynch is one of them, and I really don't think that John Lynch is a Hall of Fame defensive back.
I sure hope
Leroy. Don't we find out tonight whether Leroy makes it or not?
Yep.
So I sure hope the guy makes it.
Yeah, me too. I sure hope so.
So.
All right. Okay. I was going to say that I can't remember what I was going to say.
I find that happens a lot as I get older. I walk into a room and I don't even know why I'm in there.
I read something online the other day.
Yeah.
One guy put $500,000. And actually, when you bet in Vegas, you gotta
pay the juice.
You gotta pay the juice up front. So $550,000 on San Francisco, and that moved the line up a half a point. Well, not only did he put a half a million down, another guy put $250,000, and another guy put $100,000. So that the line was KC by one. Right. It moved it up to KC by. No, I take it back. They put it on KC, so San Francisco got an extra half a point.
Okay.
They moved up. Up the line.
People betting that much money.
Crazy.
If you got that much money, you don't need to be betting.
Exactly.
Just keep your money and be happy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Golfing.
Well, he could bet.
Book a fishing trip.
Bet $100. You know, just for the excitement of it, maybe. But a half a million dollars.
Doesn't Ryan Horvath?
He's
a big
better.
Gambler. See all over this one.
They all are in the morning show.
Who did they pick? Who's have you been listening to the morning show? I want to know what the brain trust of those guys.
The
brain trust of the Ryan and
I don't know who
Mark
they favor.
And
but
Chuck.
They're going over like a bunch of prop bets yesterday.
Oh, those prop bets are fun.
Oh yeah.
How about Billy? What's he got going?
I don't know. I haven't heard.
Who's Billy going with?
I don't know.
I don't know. I got another job.
I don't know. Yeah, me too. The coin flip, that's always a good one. Heads or tails? You know, there's a 50-50 shot for you. Best odds in the game, in as far as prop bets, best odds. Well, not the best, because there's a lot of other ones, too. The under-overs are always 50-50s.
Okay.
Well, actually, all of them are 50-50s, aren't they? I think they're all 50-50.
Well, as long as when they sing the national anthem, like you said, they don't go at the end. When they go to the home of the brave and they
and
go
they last and they, for like 2 minutes.
The home of the brave. Yeah.
Yeah, and they keep going. Well, some of these, they just keep doing it.
You know, the best person that I think I ever heard sing was that one. Was it a little girl that would sing?
Oh, yeah. I heard her
sing at the national anthem.
Oh, yeah. She does it for the Milwaukee Bucks all the time.
Just belt it out, strong and beautiful. Keep it simple.
The one who did
It's not about, when you start going all the, then it's becoming about you.
Yeah,
it's not about the song and the country.
Right.
Ooh, that was beautifully spoken there.
That's
it just hit me like an epiphany, like a diamond.
Do you want me to
grab
that as a soundbite?
Yeah.
Yeah, save that as.
Say less.
Yeah, you know, it's like these people, like you said, they want to make it about them and what they're doing rather
Look
than the way the
Look
song
at me
was written.
Singing it super
but you know
cool.
who did it really nice according to the song and all that one time was this country singer, the redheaded gal, Reba McEntire.
Reba.
She did it normal, like, and it's
she
like,
it
boy, I like that one, you know.
Good job, Reebs.
And I'm sure, you know, anybody who does it normal, I like. These ones that just go on forever. And, you know, there's a prop bet how long it'll last.
Is there a prop bet on whether they'll forget the words?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there's one on that, too. You better believe it. Like, who forgot the words that one year?
Oh, man.
Wasn't it up in a green, but wasn't it at a – no?
No,
wasn't it
no. It was a big game. It was a big game.
And it was a – was it a chick or a guy?
It was a female.
I can't remember.
It was a female. It was a female.
Yeah.
It was definitely a female.
I thought it was a dude.
No, definitely a female. Oh, a dude might have done it, too. But I remember the female forgetting the words. Oh, Roseanne Barr did one time when she was at a baseball game out there in California.
Why would they have Roseanne Barr
sing? I know, because she can't sing. She couldn't sing. She was just hollering it out, and then she forgot what the hell to holler.
There's a prop bet, too, that one of the teams will like put together a scoring drive, you know, quicker than it takes to sing the anthem.
That's funny.
Anything and everything you can think of, there's a bet for it.
How many jets will fly over?
There's even ones
three
for
three or
four. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, if you look on the pages, I mean, there are literally pages of prop bets. Just, it's crazy how many there are. So many different ones. And, I mean, you know, and if you wanted to have fun, you could bet like a dollar on each one. You just go through a bunch of them. And you know, the problem thing is you probably end up 50-50, you know. Remember how John used to bet under and overs? He'd take all 16 games that week, all the overs. And he'd usually end up 50-50.
And then
even.
The next week he'd do all 16 under.
Unders, exactly. All the unders. And it's like, oh, man.
John was funny,
and then
man.
He'd claim, I never win at this.
He was funny, man. Yeah.
It was good. Anyway. Well, anyway, we got to go to a break. We're running overtime.
When we come back, Tom,
I'm
going to have a little game.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be identify, name that wildlife sound. You've heard of Name That Tune?
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to have to name the wildlife sound.
Yeah. And you're not going to win anything.
No, I'm asking you. You're,
oh,
yeah, I'm
me?
Telling you, you're the contestant.
Oh, I thought we'd have contestants.
Well, maybe
guess this.
If you miss it, maybe someone can call.
Okay.
Real quick, our guy Robin Waukesha just called in. Christina Aguilera.
Oh, she was the one who missed.
Yeah, and I think it was for the Packers Super Bowl.
That's what I thought.
Oh, okay.
Man.
Packers Super Bowl.
Yeah, Super Bowl XLV, right? Yeah.
Christina Aguilera. Well, she better bone up on that.
Yeah, she was okay looking. We'll forgive her for that.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, all right. So, folks, I mean, if you want to play, folks, guess against me. That's fine. 799-1250.
You're not going to win anything?
But you're not going to win a darn thing. Oh. It's just for fun.
Oh, it's just to see how...
Unless
how,
you got something you want to give away. Why don't you give away some musky lures?
I don't have any musky lures to give away. Don't you have any
money,
Mike?
Sam.
How about a crisp high five?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Sam, in his apartment, he's got... ever see those wash racks where you hang stuff on? You know, they're tiered.
Well,
Bushy's got them like 7 feet high. 9 feet long, and they're just row after row after row of musky lures.
Chicks dig it, man. I have them over the place. I say, hey, honey, so
you don't want to share one of those with the audience.
Super cowgirl.
You don't want to share one with the audience?
Hey, man, chicks dig the dish racks, all right?
It's the lures they dig.
Yeah. All right, let's play this game. 799-1250 if you want to, like, go against me. We'll be right back.
That's the way you do it. Play the wildlife on the Cutting Edge Outdoors and see if you can identify this sound. Now, have we got a player?
Yeah.
No? Okay. So
you're
going
to hold that up to the mic, right?
I'm going to hold this to the mic.
Okay.
I'm going to play a song. I'm going to play a sound, a wildlife sound.
Okay.
And we're going to see if you can get it. I'm going to start out easy.
All right.
And then we'll go from there. Hold on. Let me get the volume at the right. It's volume. Okay. Here we go, Tom. Identify this wildlife.
That's a crow.
Okay, you're one for one.
All righty.
You're okay.
I'm hot.
You're hot. Okay. All right, hold on.
Call me butter, because I'm on a roll.
Whatever, dude. Let me just get to the next one here.
Sam liked that one.
All right. All right.
I don't think I've ever heard that one.
You really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're a young guy.
Yeah.
That's an old one, actually. Call me butter, because I'm on a roll.
All right, here. I'm going to see if I can quiet him down over here for you, Sam. Here we go.
A flock of geese?
All right. You're two for two.
Oh, good thing nobody's playing against me.
That wasn't any goose. That was the Wiley snow goose. Okay, hold on.
I knew that.
No, you didn't. You have a... Hold on 1 second. Okay, here we go.
Here we go. It's a squirrel.
It's you pulling out your wallet so tight you can see. That's a rodent in distress.
Then I'm right. A squirrel is a rodent.
Judge, what do you think?
Judge. A squirrel is a rodent. It's a tree rat.
We'll give it to you.
It's a tree rat.
All right. You got it. You're three for three.
Three for three.
Wow.
No wonder nobody called to try to play this against me.
Okay, here we go.
Uh-oh. Now I know I'm going to lose one.
Ooh, no, you're a genius, Tom. Here we go.
What the heck? Okay, here we go. A woodchuck.
That's a woodpecker in distress.
Oh.
Wow. Well,
I get half a point?
No, you keep track of this.
Wait a minute.
Is he 3-1 or 3-4?
I think I'm 3.5.
Yeah, that means he's got 3 right and 1 wrong.
Yeah, 3-4.
Two ways of saying it.
Yeah.
3-1, 3-4.
Yeah. Well, okay, I think I should be 3.5 and 1/2.
Quit whining.
So I got a half.
Keep going. All right, here we go.
It's a rabbit.
Nancy Pelosi after they don't impeach Trump.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's a fawn in distress.
A fawn?
Fawn in distress.
Uh-oh. I lost one there.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Doesn't sound like any fawn I ever heard.
3-5 there, Sam, I am. Here we go.
Oh, boy. What the heck?
Think, listen.
It sounds familiar. Is that some kind of bird in distress?
No, that was a coyote pup in distress.
Oh, coyote pup.
Yep, pup in distress.
We should let a caller pick one. 799-1250. Come on, caller.
They'll never get this next one.
Come on, caller. Somebody give a call. See if you can guess one. Bushy is challenging you that you'll never guess it. Come on, folks. Prove them wrong. Prove them that you're a semi-genius.
Well, if we don't get a caller, sully your record there a little bit.
Because right now I'm 3-3. I'm even.
Is it 3-3?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm even.
3-3 or three
out of
six. However you want
to
say
that. Three out of six there.
I like the 3-3 better. That doesn't sound as bad.
Well, you're batting .500 right now, Tom.
Well, that's okay for a major leaguer.
But I gave you the easy ones to start with.
You thought those were easy?
Kind of the same as UW Badger football schedule. We give you the easy ones to start with, and then you roll from there. Okay.
So we got somebody who, we had somebody who was ready to put their reputation on the line. But I guess
could just
we got
be a wrong number.
I guess we got a bunch of chicken wimps out there who don't want to put their reputation. They don't want to go up against the Bushmaster over here. Come on, grow a pair. Now okay. I'm really ticking off the whole audience.
So here we go. All right.
All right. I guess I'll do it.
Give you the next one here. Could be Pelosi again.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that last one was that's a fox.
Jackrabbit in distress.
Oh, a jackrabbit. Oh, guess what? We got a couple of callers. Okay. All right. They're ready to put their reputation. Oh, the one of them hung up right
away. I'm almost out of sounds.
That's all right.
Okay.
Yeah, wait a minute. We're going to get somebody on
the mindless.
Air.
Ooh, here's a good one.
Oh, here's a good one. Okay. Who do we got?
What kind of mindless?
Mike in West Dallas.
Hey, good morning, Mike in West Dallas.
I grew up here, but I had to get them from my wife.
Oh, okay. Why, she stole them from you?
She's right next to me.
Okay. Oh, boy. Okay, well, here you go.
All right.
Danny's going to play it
now.
Identify
this sound. Here we go.
What do you think that is, Mike?
That's a bird, and I think it's a raven.
Nope. Cottontail in distress.
Oh, too bad.
Here, we'll give you another one.
You want one more?
Sure, why not?
All right.
I'll give you. Here you go.
That should be an easy one. I think I might know that one.
That's emergency vehicle.
Okay, now do you want to try an animal?
Oh, let's see. I don't know. That's pretty baffling to me.
I think it's a wolf.
That's a coyote howl. And it's interesting that you say that, Mike, because you realize that if an emergency vehicle goes down a country road making the siren, that packs of coyotes will start howling.
Really?
It gets them going. They go nuts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks for calling, Mike.
That was a good
shot. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Have a nice day.
All right. Bye now.
They go crazy, man.
Really?
Oh, I've been in a deer stand. Mike Scalandra, we'd hear it. The whole pack would open up. It was kind of creepy.
Huh. All right. Well, when we come back, you're going to play a few more?
Yeah, we got a few more here.
Okay. When we come back from the break, if you want to take a guess, you can give us a call at 414-799-1250. We'll be back in about 3 minutes or so, so stay tuned, folks, here on the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors.
It's the final countdown. The final countdown.
Oh, you want me to do it, Danny?
Sure, do it.
All right, we got an email.
Hot off the press.
Yeah, here we go.
Just make sure it doesn't say anything about the big game.
Right.
And use the wrong words.
Right. This is John writes us, my first and last muskie. I was bass fishing a 200-acre lake in Oneida County with two friends. I was using, a medium action spin with 8-pound line, number 3 hook, 7-inch plastic worm. After a cast, I thought I hooked onto a log and started pulling to free the hook. That's when the logs, or it, started pulling back. Soon I saw the fish swim about 20 feet from the boat, from his boat, and said to my friends, oh man, there's no way I'm going to get this fish in. After 20 minutes or so, I guess he didn't have a net because a neighbor came out in his boat, which was bigger, and he had a net. So this guy, John, I stepped out of my boat into the other bigger boat with the guy who had the net. The fish stayed tight to the bottom, never made a run. I just kept constant pressure, back reeled when needed. After almost an hour and yards of line, following him around slowly, came up and were able to see him. He was hooked way back in the joint of his mouth and could not believe that the line didn't break or get bit off. This was September of 1996 and a day I will never forget. I took fourth place in the Oneida County Muskie Challenge. That's they take the 10 biggest.
Yep, yep.
Okay. He took fourth place and he says, I was bass fishing, laugh out loud. The size of the fish, 49 and a half inches, just shy of 30 pounds. My first and last muskie.
Hey.
I think it's funny that he's got to step out of his boat into the other guy's boat. Why didn't the other guy just give him his net?
Well, that was going to be my question, yeah. But I mean, that was 20 years ago. So
yeah, so who knows?
Years, who knows?
It kind of reminds me of my brother Jim, or I can't remember which brother was doing what. One of my brothers was reeling in a muskie. The other one took the 22 out of the tackle box, where years ago that was legal.
Right.
Took and started shooting at the head of the muskie and shot the hook right out of its mouth.
You know, one of the biggest smallmouth I ever saw in my life was in the Suamico River 3 years ago. I and my brother were launching to go muskie fishing in September, and some guy was fishing along the shore, and he hooked a giant smallmouth, and he didn't have a net, and he asked us if we could net it, so we actually drove over in the boat to the side of the wall by the shore where he was fishing and netted it for the guy. And the thing had to be at least 22. I think the guy measured it and said 23 inches once he got it on the shore. Monster smallie. But yeah, we netted it from the boat and he's fishing from shore.
Okay.
So yeah. Well, congratulations. Yeah. That was John.
You know, speaking of smallies, my biggest one was 23 inches. Now people ask me how much did it weigh? I don't know. I didn't weigh it.
Right.
I know it was over six, but more than likely it was over seven. It was a monster. And it was caught on camera doing a TV show from cast to catch, all on camera. That talk about luck, right? But I saw one on Oconomowoc Lake, and I caught that fish on Oconomowoc Lake.
Yeah.
But I saw one on Oconomowoc Lake at first I thought was a carp. I mean, I never caught it. I just saw it. It was following my bucktail. That was even bigger than that 23-incher. That was I thought it was a carp.
I saw it.
And it was like, oh, my Lord, look at the size of that thing.
I was with my buddy, this is almost 20 years ago, I was with my buddy Jerry on Oconomowoc in fall. And same thing, Tom, we went into the shallows, and I looked down, and I said to Jerry, I said, what are those, a couple of carp? And he goes, those are smallies, dude. there's some huge.
They got some huge ones out there, but fish. So does Pewaukee. Let's not forget PY. They got some huge ones out there, too.
Yes.
All right, let's hear some more sounds. Let's see how I can embarrass myself.
See if you can get this one. Okay.
All right, here we go.
So I'm going to tell you the species, Tom.
Oh, you are. Why?
But what type vocalization is this?
What do you mean?
What does it mean?
What
is this coyote saying or doing?
Okay, what is this coyote saying or doing?
Okay, here we go.
Okay. What time is dinner, honey?
That close.
Close.
That's a female invitation.
Oh.
So like if you were a male coyote right now, you'd be really
aroused. You'd run over there.
You'd be really excited, dude.
Oh.
You'd be running over there because that female. Yep. I remember.
She was hot to trot, huh?
I remember those days, the good old days. So here's another one right along that line. This is another coyote. What coyote sound is this? Here we go.
A hurt coyote. A coyote in distress. Is that all there is?
That's a coyote challenge.
Oh.
Like, if you heard that, Tom, you'd be putting on your gloves and you'd be throwing hands.
Oh.
Okay, because that's a coyote challenge. That's like saying, like, this one female that just gave the invitation, well, don't even think about coming over here because I got this.
I'm going to bite you.
Okay. And here's one. You like music, Tom?
Oh, sure, of course.
Okay, here we go. You're going to like this. You like music, Wes?
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go.
Wes? Now, is that the one of the coyotes following the ambulance?
It's a coyote. Well, that's what they do. That's what it sounds like when the ambulance and all of a sudden you hear them go.
Yeah.
But this particular one, here we go. I mentioned music as your hint. It's music that starts with S. It's a coyote.
Sing along.
No, close. Keep coming.
Symphony. Symphony.
Not that's music. It's a singing, but not.
I don't
it's
know.
It's a coyote serenade.
Oh,
Tom,
a serenade. Well, that's like a symphony.
Rhymes with lemonade serenade.
Oh, yeah. Well, why didn't you give me that clue? Rhymes with lemonade.
You never would have got it anyway.
Oh, yeah.
No, you know, not a chance. No, you would have got nothing. So now you see why I don't ever shoot any coyotes.
Well, didn't you tell me this story?
This group of sounds is not working for me.
Didn't you tell me a while back you had that plane, the distressed rabbit, and you and your buddy were sitting, it was out in the middle of a field, and you guys were sitting in the tree line, and an owl came down and grabbed your thing?
That was with Scott, my buddy Scott, and we sat out at night. We were in this trailer. It was like 6 below 0, and it was terribly cold. So we had this speaker that he borrowed, right? And we had the remote, and we had the speaker, like, sitting out in the snow, and we're sitting there shivering, and all of a sudden, I never saw it land, but my buddy Scott goes, "What the hell is that?" And I look, and there's this big dark thing right next to the call, and I realize it's a giant great horned owl. Wow. Now, I was scared it was going to grab the call and fly off with this guy's $100 call that we borrowed.
Yeah.
So I'm like, shut it off, Scott. And actually,
that's funny.
Actually, I did call in a hawk last week. And so every time I
that's
do
pretty
call,
cool.
Oh, I've had hawks come in. The hawks will come in
they'll
and land
look.
In a tree.
Oh, they'll land and look at it.
Oh, yeah, one landed
then,
and was looking. And then I told you I had that little furry thing kind of shaking around.
Yeah, yeah.
I was afraid it was going to steal that and fly off with it.
Oh, well, yeah, you don't want them to do that. You don't
it's
want them to steal
gonna
that.
It's never going to work. I'm never going to shoot a coyote
but,
call
you know,
in a minute. It's just not going to happen.
You know, I'm telling you, Danny, you know, in these slow months, and we didn't even get on the ice fishing. I was going to call my son and get his hot tips on ice fishing.
We got to do it next week.
I'm telling you, these shows have been, not only have they been going by fast, but they've been very fun. I hope the audience enjoys them as much as I have been.
Yeah, hopefully we're not too crazy here. So, but we do appreciate our listeners out there. This is kind of a tough time of year. A lot of people really aren't doing much, kind of cold and dreary. But we appreciate you guys getting up and listening on a Saturday morning. And that's all I got.
Me too.
To all the listeners, thanks for listening. And God bless and stay free, everyone.
You've been listening to Skibberbuds Cutting Edge Outdoors. Enjoy the bowl tomorrow. We'll talk to you next week, my friends.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.